You know, a God of grace. As I loved you, says Jesus, we must love one another. I think that's an incredibly high standard to meet, isn't it? I think it's similar to what Paul says in Philippians 2, that your attitude should be that of Christ Jesus, who in very nature God humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. Again, that's too high a standard to meet if we're honest. How can we love as Jesus loved, be as humble as Jesus? He is, after all, perfect in love. He is love and humility. It seems too high a bar to reach. As I said earlier, love is, after all, so hard to describe. It seems impossible to live out. Maybe that's why when we start talking about loving one another, we do the eye roll. We've heard it all before. But loving one another is the very essence or mark or DNA of a follower of Jesus. And so my prayer is that we'll see that this is not impossible for us to love as Jesus loved us. Well, let me pray that Jesus will help us this morning and write this truth on our hearts. Let me pray. Father God, by your Spirit, remove the scales from our eyes and the callousness of our hearts, so that we see afresh, in the depth of our soul, know deeply and personally your love for us in Jesus, so that love would well up within us to overflowing to each other in our lives, so we'll be able to, as you loved us, love one another. For your glory and the sake of our Saviour Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, John 13:34 says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So how is this possible to obey? It is a command after all. Well, as I said, it's not turning to the world's idea of love. It's more than a secondhand emotion. Yet what we have in this verse is not a new suggestion. It's not even a new idea or a new possibility or a new life option, but a new commandment. But what's new about this new commandment to love one another that we need to obey? In one sense, loving each other is not a new command. It's already there in the Old Testament, in Leviticus 19. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Deuteronomy 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. So what's new then? Well, Jesus answered that in two ways for us. The key is found in the words in the second half of verse 34, as I have loved you. Well, there's the answer. Well, let's explore that a little deeply this morning. Well, firstly, the command is new because it's a command to live out on the love of Jesus. And the second part of this command is new because it's a command to live on the love of Jesus that's contained in those words. And so what's new is Jesus is now the pattern we live by and the power we live on, so we are able to love one another as commanded. See, no need for the eye rolls anymore. No need to think it's impossible. Well, let's have a look. Jesus' pattern we are to live by. So come back to John chapter 13. The Bible reading's there in your handout. And we see what Jesus provides the pattern for us. In verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world. He's going to come and die on the cross for us and leave this world and go to the Father. After his resurrection, after victory over sin and death. But having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. See, Jesus' whole life was marked by love. And Jesus' love for us is about to be demonstrated. Have a look at verse 4. The second part of verse 4, it says, he took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. This is a picture of Philippians 2 verse 3, counting others more significant than himself as he takes the role of a servant. If anyone should be having their feet washed, it isn't Peter in verse 6. Well, let's pick it up from verse 12. Come down to chapter 13, verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set an example that you should do as I have done for you. So here we have Jesus giving an acted out pattern of love. So when we get to verse 34, he says, just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. You don't have to go guessing what it means by as. As I have loved you in the pattern I just gave you a few moments ago. So the pattern of love to be followed is clear. It doesn't seem impossible, does it? It starts again, as Paul says in Philippians 2, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Being a servant of one another is how we are to love each other at BAC. And it involves laying aside any idea of status or rank or rights or privilege and take on the form of a servant. Again, that's what Paul describes in Philippians 2 about Jesus. For that's what Jesus has done here and demonstrated here in John 13. See, what Jesus is saying, by virtue of my status and rank and privilege as your Lord and teacher, I'm not obliged to wash your feet, but I count you as more significant than myself and serve you. Here is the pattern of love. You know, so much of the world lived by a sense of entitlement. I remember battling that in my early career at Macquarie in the late 80s. I didn't have the old school tie. I didn't go to the right university or live at the right address. You know, I had to fight hard to be seen. You know, we can bring our own sense of entitlement to God. You know, things should go well for me. Or a sense of privilege. I like it this way. Or my preference is, rather than thinking what I will give up so that I can serve my brothers and sisters. That's love. For that's Jesus' pattern of love to us here in John 13. With all these COVID restrictions, someone accused the churches of a sense of entitlement this week over our desire to gather and to be able to sing. Personally, I think it's more about being consistent. But there might be a hint of truth. We might have to give up all those things again to serve and to love the vulnerable, as we have. We're even doing that by gathering here this morning. As the Archbishop wrote to us, if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable to you in the sight of God. It's all part of serving and loving one another. The pattern of love to give up the sense of privilege or rights even and humbly serve each other in the best way we can. And so that involves practical deeds of helpfulness, doesn't it? In a very simple, practical way, in those days, everyone walked on roads and they were all dirty. No one wore socks. Everyone's feet would have been more or less dirty all the time. Unless someone or yourself cleaned them, the dirty, smelly work still had to be done. It was lowly work. And that's what Jesus did for those who should have been doing it for him. He laid aside a sense of entitlement, his status as a son of God, and washed his disciples' feet. Now, many in church often do lowly, simple, and invisible acts of helpfulness. Know this, God sees it, and he is pleased with you. And I don't think there's any greater reward than to know that our Heavenly Father is pleased with us, especially when we obey His command to love one another. So if that is you, keep going. But all of us need to look for ways to help each other, to serve each other, and to love in this way. Jesus, our Lord, our Saviour, our pattern of love. Well, the second one's a little bit harder to see, but let's work through this. Jesus, the power we live on to love. You know, we're called out to live, called to live out Jesus' love and to live on the love of Jesus. For Jesus becomes the power to love, not just the pattern for us to love. And here's where we get this idea from John 15. So the newness of this command to love Jesus, not only the pattern of his behavior, but look at John 15, verse 9 to 10. I'll read it. If you've got your Bible, just jump over a couple of pages and you'll see it there. I'll read it for you. Verses 9 to 10. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The key to Jesus loving us is abiding in his Father's love, staying in his Father's love, living on his Father's love, resting in his Father's love. So the source and power of Jesus' love was his relationship with God the Father. I abide in his love, drawing power from abiding in the Father's love. For Jesus, it lives in a constant and perfect union with the Father. The effect is that the Father's love flows into Jesus and lives there as a divine power to love, all the way to the cross. And then Jesus says at the end of verse 9, abide in my love. So he abides in his Father's love, and we are to abide in his love. And that's how we're able to love each other, as Jesus loves us, abiding in him. See, it's not impossible, is it? Although, what's abiding? Glad you asked. Well, we can see a picture of Jesus has in mind of this abiding in his love in verse 5. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And this is where the power comes from. See, we have no power ourselves. We can do nothing of any spiritual significance unless we're abiding in Jesus, connected to him. And so just as a vine gives life to the branches, drawing everything it needs to survive from the deep roots in the soil that flows through the vine to the very tips of the branches that bears fruit. But if you break it off, they die. Nothing to sustain them. You know, life, light, and power to love, to bear fruit, comes from Jesus staying connected to him. For he's completely unified to the Father. He draws all power from his Father's love, flowing to him, and then through him to us, if we stay connected. And so here's where we get the power idea. Apart from me, Jesus says, you have no power to do anything. Apart from Jesus, we are dead branches. And so it's not as if we can just live with a part of Jesus, like we like the Saviour Jesus. No, he is Lord. And to be Lord of your life, wholehearted devotion to him. And so this abiding means trusting and treasuring Jesus. And so if you're wondering, hour by hour, abiding in Jesus means, it means hour by hour trusting in him. Trusting that he'll meet all our needs and be our supreme treasure. He's the one who satisfies your every need. As we heard a couple of weeks ago, the deep thirst of the desires of our heart will only be met by Jesus if we will trust him. And if we do trust in the Father's love, will flow through Jesus to you and me. So the more we trust Jesus, believing on Jesus, drinking in Jesus, feeding on Jesus, We stay connected to Jesus, the true vine. And so Jesus gives us the power to obey this new command. Without him, we can do nothing. But connected to him, we are able to love. So when we are confident that Jesus will meet all our needs and be our treasure, we are freed and empowered to humble ourselves and meet the needs of others in love. This commandment to love one another is new because Jesus says, I'm here now to be abided in for the power to live it, and you'll never live it unless you abide in me. Which leaves us one last question. How can we trust him to meet all our needs and be our treasure if we're sinners and deserve only wrath from God and not love? Well, the answer is given in this very context of John. Right after saying in John 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. See, Jesus could not just leave us only with a pattern and only a power through union with him by faith to love. He had to go deeper and solve the problem of John 3:36. It says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. See, our problem is not mainly that we don't love like we should. Our problem is mainly that because of our sin, God's wrath remains on us and so needs to be removed. Why does God cease to be angry with us, instead pour love into our lives through Jesus and empower us to love? We just read in verse 13. Jesus laid down his life for his friends. We know Jesus died in our place. Jesus endured the wrath of God. He took that cup we deserve. And so God's justice could be satisfied and his love could flow unhindered through Christ to us and through us to each other. The commandment to love each other is new because Jesus is the pattern and the power of that love. And he can be for those for us even though we're sinners, because he removed that wrath, laying down his life. So he'll be forever for us as we abide always in him. So the more we recognize the love of our Saviour, the more we appreciate the love of the Saviour. The higher the standard appears, the higher his standard appears. The more we recognize in our selfishness, our innate self-centeredness, the depth of our own sin, that we're in need of Jesus, our Saviour, more and more. My friends, this is not just tacking the gospel on at the end of a talk, but the very reason why we can know and we can walk out of here forgiven with God on our side and not against us, and be able to obey him. It starts by us coming continually to Jesus, trusting in him, abiding in him, drinking in him, feeding on him, the one who got down on his knees and washed our souls with his blood. To the end, to death, where love shone best and brightest, at Calvary. That's the pattern and power of Jesus' sacrificial love for us. Without Jesus' powerful love for us, we can do nothing. Do you know this love? Well, then you'll be able to obey the command to love one another sacrificially and humbly. Well, let me just finish with a few moments of just applying this to our lives. Firstly, it takes humility to love this way, but also humility to be loved. See, the command to love one another, so we need to allow others to love us. If you look back at John 13, verse 8, Peter replies to Jesus' offer to wash his feet. Peter says, no, you shall never wash my feet. He knows that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. It seems like the right response, doesn't it? You're the King. Peter doesn't realize or understand what Jesus had to do in that moment to demonstrate his love for him. And he would eventually, in the ultimate demonstration of Jesus' love on the cross, as we know. See, what Peter lacked in that moment was the humility to be loved in that way. And so we need to have the humility to receive love from others, even tough love at times. You know, Peter writes himself as he learnt from his Lord and Saviour about humility. 1 Peter 5, clothe yourself with humility towards one another. And so that's why we need to build relationships of mutual trust and understanding, that God uses each one of us to love each other here. We must allow that to happen for us to truly value loving one another. But often our pride gets in the way of others speaking the truth in love. That's why we need to remember that Jesus laid down his life for each one of us. You know, we all stand equal before Jesus. Sinners saved by grace. There's nothing in us that deserves his love, but yet he loves us. And so calls us to love each other and allow others to love us. What would this look like to love one another? Well, there's 62 one another verses in the New Testament. That's how deep, wide, and long loving one another is. Let me go through them. You still awake? Anyway, only joking. I've got three practical things, and I'll finish here. One, affirm each other. You know, too often we're looking for what is wrong in each other. You know, we're all broken image bearers of God. You go looking for cracks, you'll find them. But as you do that, remember you're looking through eyes full of logs and specks. But see, when we seek to affirm each other, we look with eyes full of Jesus' love. So affirm one another's strengths and abilities and gifts, which all come from God. Ephesians 4, encourage and build each other up. Romans 15, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you. That's affirming each other. Secondly, just share one another's space and goods and times. 1 Peter 4, offer hospitality to one another. Galatians 6, carry each other's burdens, pray for each other. That's how we can share the love for each other. Sharing one another's life, live in harmony with one another in Romans 12. And finally, the way we love is to serve, as we've heard. We can serve one another through accountability. You know, James 5, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Serve one another through forgiveness and reconciliation. As I mentioned, Colossians 6, speak the truth in love. See, this is where if you've been let down by someone, we'd encourage and go and speak to them. This is the loving thing to do. Joys have been outside. Now we are to encourage and speak to one another. As I said, this is a loving thing to do. But see, seeking to help others see they may have a blind spot. See, we all have blind spots. And so we can help each other by pointing those out. Speaking the truth in love means that it's an opportunity then for compassion and understanding. You know, what's going on in someone else's life? That might be behind their blind spots. Who knows? You won't know unless you go and speak to each other. Encourage each other. Speak the truth in love with each other. Show compassion and understanding and love. And see how loving that is, rather than remaining in judgment and bitterness towards someone. If we don't speak the truth in love that we're commanded to, And Colossians 3, forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. That's the loving thing to do. That's what Jesus did for us. And so in all things, Hebrews 2, I'll finish here, spur one another on towards love and good deeds. It all comes back together. Spurring one another, loving one another. And Jesus says, I always loved you in the pattern of his love, in the power of his sacrificial love. We are to love one another. It's a high bar, but it's not impossible when we stay connected to Jesus, the source of love itself. Well, let me pray that God will help us to be such people and value this for his glory. Let me pray. Gracious Father, now in the quietness and stillness of our hearts, Father, I pray that you'll write afresh on our hearts this morning the extraordinary love of the Lord Jesus poured out for us from you. And Father, I pray by your Spirit that you will shape our hearts and mold our hearts, and that overflowing love will flow to one another here. That we will value what you value, and that is to love as Jesus loved, so that we may love one another. For your sake and for your glory, I pray, Lord, that you'll make us to be such people. And I pray all these things in the powerful, glorious, mighty, precious name of Jesus. Amen.